The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the master.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. It's 713-780-3776. I have to say, just, guys, I really appreciate the texts and tweets that you guys understand what we're doing today. And if you're just joining us, we've done no sports, and we're probably not going to do any sports today. We are going to have RJ on at 5:30, but who knows? We may do odds about something else. But we really want this to be about... We want to give you guys your chance to talk, and we just think this is important to have a conversation about. We got a full board, so let's just get to it. Who do we want to go to?
Jordan. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you kind of touched on it, but, people need to take responsibility for their actions, no matter who you are. And like that guy who decided to go to the peaceful rally yesterday in Dallas and thought it was a good idea to bring his AR-15 with him. And then he's surprised when police think that he's a suspect when there's people being shot. You know, people just don't make good decisions, I think. They don't think things through all the time and they act on impulse. And but you have to admit whenever you made a bad decision like that guy did. And, you know, luckily he didn't get caught up in everything that was going on.
To be fair, we live in an open carry state.
Yeah, and it's within your rights.
Had I been walking around with a pistol, do you think the cops would, or you think Dallas police would have broadcast me as a suspect? I don't think so.
No, I don't think you would have had your pistol out, though. You might have had your holster. You might have had it on
your side. Open carry. I don't care.
I mean, you open carry, but you don't do it openly.
I'm saying is I don't open carry where I'm just walking around. You can see my gun. Right. I conceal carry. And don't get me wrong, I think open carry is a stupid idea anyway, and I think if you open carry, you're asking for trouble. But at the end of the day, we live in a state where you guys voted to make it legal. So,
well, and so far, no one who's been carrying it openly has done anything, to my knowledge. So,
Let's talk to James. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? 31 black male, and I'm pissed at so many entities, but I don't have time to get into all that. I'll tell you, last night I was getting out of bed and I saw the shootings come over the news feeds and everything like that. And instead of my first thought being, I wonder if these guys are okay, the first thing that came to my head was, why should I believe you? Like, why should I believe what you're reporting to me right now? And it pisses me off because I don't think people understand how powerful the media is. And I know not all of them have some sort of, agenda they try to push, but I know some do. And that sways a lot of people's judgment and a lot of people's thoughts, and it just pisses me off that was the first place my mind went to. And that's all I want to say about that.
I can't tell you how you should feel. I know there were a lot of people who, were happy about it and like celebrating, saying, "I know where this guy came from." I can't get down with that. Anytime somebody kills somebody who has no business being killed, whether it be a cop killing a guy who has no business being killed in his car, or a bunch of cops who are out there like actively defending the people's right to protest against them.
Yeah,
I just can't stand for it. But, I'm not going to sit here and tell, especially I'm not going to tell black people how they should feel about this.
But to his point about the media, and this is something I've been hammering for a long time, there's a reason not to trust them. And this is why I got off Twitter last night, because the reports that were coming out, and if you remember, after the bombings in Boston, we were real careful because we were on air when all this happened. It was real careful not to report certain things. And I'm seeing so much crap reported that there were three snipers and it was all this. And then today we find out it's one guy. And it's one reason why I stayed off Twitter. I didn't comment until we got to the show today so I could get as much information as possible. Unfortunately, that's not the reality anymore. You can't do that. You can't report responsibly. And we're not going to consume news responsibly because we want everything right now. That's just how the world is. And I'm not saying don't trust the media. I'm just saying pick the media you trust. And there are media out there. Like I waited for AP on everything today. That's fair. And that's who I trust. What about, I want to do Rachel? What's up, Rachel?
Hey, guys. Hi. Thank you so much for taking time out of your show today, or making your show all about this today. And I basically want to say, like, I have a three-year-old, and oftentimes some people, this one particular instance, I'm Black, and my son is Black, and some older white man said, oh, your son is so cute, and rather than saying thank you, instantly in my head, like, the thought was, well, right now he's cute, but in 20 years or in 15 years, you'll think that he's intimidating, or a woman will see him coming and want to cross the other street as he's clutching her purse. And that's the reality that I now live in, as far as just looking at my son and my husband and I having to teach him, even though he's so young, you have to instill values in him and letting him know that society will see you one way, your family will see you one way, and other people will see you one way. And it was just very heartbreaking seeing that video of Philando Castile getting basically assassinated, murdered right there. And then his fiance Diamond just having the courage to even live stream. And I honestly think if the cop knew that what she was doing was live stream, they probably would have shot her, because he even realized he made a mistake, because
he was scared,
dropping F-bombs all over the place. So and then just the fact that no help was even being administered to him, it was just really sad. It was just overall sad. And no, I went to bed early last night, so when I woke up this morning, it's like I found out about the shooting in Dallas. That's sad too overall, because we now live in a society where everybody is on edge.
A couple things I wanted to address. And while I do believe now that the mothers of Black boys, you have to, just like, you know, when you grow up, you got to have to talk with the birds and the bees. The mothers, right, of Black boys have to have a different talk about, you know, honestly, it's not fair, but they have to hold themselves to a higher standard and make sure that they.
Yeah, you do. You really have to, just like if you're teaching your son how to tie a shoe, you in Black families, we have to have those conversations, because whether or not you are complying with what is being given, you still have to know that you're quote-unquote driving while Black, or just being about your business while Black. And just that video with Alton Sterling, that's very disturbing too, because it's like two cops were, three or four of them were on top of him, having pinned him down, but yet still saw a need to shoot him. And I know that you guys were saying earlier, as far as do we have to shoot to kill? What about using tasers? And I think in that situation, a taser could have been warranted or something.
Also, you said something earlier, and I also keep this in mind, that when a white man says, oh, that's a cute son, and your brain instantly goes to, oh, well, you think he's cute now. You're stereotyping the white man the same way you don't want the white man to stereotype your son. And
no,
that's
you're
something,
absolutely correct.
That's where everybody has to come together.
Right, and you're right. And you're right, because, but unfortunately, society and certain situations have conditioned people to rather than just say thank you, in the back of your mind, you have to also have that other perspective as well, because that's how you have to prepare your child for life, for the things that does come up.
Great call, Rachel. Thank you very much. Can I want to get to this real quick as we're going to break, because this is something that I've been wanting to get to. But A32 says, everyone complains about the quality of the job the police do. As a former police officer and someone who loved the job, pay them. As you say, you get what you pay for. Cities will spend millions on a study and push subpar cadets in the streets to fill a void. I have to say, this has been something I've been hammering on for a long time, and nobody listens to me. And I've always said the reason we need to legalize casino gambling and weed in this state is to take all those tax dollars and pay our first responders more money so that we get better first responders. Because honestly, if we're paying you $120,000 a year as opposed to $50,000 a year, do you think you're not going to get better cadets?
Well, I would also say, and it's the same thing I said when I joined the military, there's certain jobs, if you're, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be paid more, but when you're a soldier, you're not being a soldier to be rich. If you're a cop, you shouldn't be going into being a cop to get rich. If you're a teacher, you shouldn't be going into teaching to get rich. These are things that, while I understand what you're saying,
but
the reality is, you know, going in what a cop makes.
Right. But
and if you can't do that job for that money, then don't do that job.
But that's also, it's kind of silly. That job's too important to go in for that money.
I get it.
And I know a lot. I know a lot of police officers that have to work security at bars and stuff like that to make extra money. We can fix that, especially in this state. We can fix that real easily. Just legalize two things and let's take those tax dollars. And then guess what? We're going to have the best in the country. But nobody listens to me on that. So, oh, well.
All right. We'll be back with more on the Blitz.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We will not shy away from the very real fact that we as a city, as a state, as a nation, are struggling with racial issues. They continue to divide us. Yes, it's that word race. And we've got to attack it head on. I will tell you, this is on my generation of leaders. It is on our watch that we have allowed this to continue to fester, that we have led the next generation down a vicious path of rhetoric and actions that pit one against the other. Yes.
And we're back on the Blitz. And that was, who was that, John? Help us out. The mayor?
Mike Rawlings, Dallas mayor.
Okay. Yeah. So apparently, they were telling me in the conference room that I should have some vodka and calm down.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Mike Pearson's in here with us, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who on Twitter are saying they love what we're doing on the show today. Mm-hmm. There's some people saying, a couple guys, I just can't listen anymore.
Then don't.
And that's fine.
And we're sorry. We warned you that when we started.
Yep.
Listen, man, this is one of those days where we're going to deal with real issues. And yeah, if you want to hear dick jokes, tune back in Monday. We're sorry.
There's a lot of people mad at me for not talking about UFC 200. I get it. I'm sorry. I know I said I'd talk about it today. I lied to you.
Well, you know what? I would love to sit here and do two segments on it. I'd love to do a whole segment on Derek's win last night and what happened last night and what's happening tonight. And, I mean, and Larry Brown leaving SMU. Love to do all that. But you know what? I got to tell you, that stuff's kind of meaningless right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, Michael, thanks for coming in, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We just didn't want to be two white guys weighing in
on
this.
That way, if we say something crazy, you can be here.
Yeah.
Is that Brain or Brian?
I'm going to guess it's Brian. Well, yeah, no, it says Brain, though.
We'll go with Brain.
What's up, Brain?
Well, hey, I'll be Brain or Brian. Thanks for having me on,
all
guys.
Right, what's
I'm
up, man?
I'm looking forward to the dick jokes on Monday, but for today, I appreciate you taking the time out. I think there are two huge issues. The people we hold the higher standards, you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers, accountants, but they all are assumed to be of, you know, at least, positive or, you know, a greater intelligence, and we put more on them and expect more of them. And I think there's a misunderstanding that that cops are also, you know, of, I know a lot of cops, they're all normal people, just like you and me, and some of them are real bright, some of them aren't real bright, and a lot of them are in the middle, just like everyone else. And I think that we're, as a society, asking perhaps too much of them, putting too much on their plate, and when you put normal people in a above normal situation, bad things happen.
But this is the same. This is the same thing we ask of our military every day, and some of the guys that are in the military can't even graduate high school.
Well,
I mean, this is these are jobs that it takes a special kind of man to do.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be great if our best and brightest joined the military and joined the police force? Sure. It's unlikely to happen.
Well, it's unlikely to happen. That's why we need a paradigm change, AJ. We need to actually make these jobs appealing to people by paying them enough. Because the truth is, and this is not to, listen, man, again, I have a lot of cop friends, wonderful people, very smart. And yes, I know a bunch who just like it because it gives them a badge and not a bunch, but a few. Gives them a badge, gives them authority. But the truth is, this is what America is. And I have a problem with this fundamentally, too. But if you get paid, then better people are going to go do it. If they were going to pay us twice what we're doing to go be police officers instead of doing this,
mm-hmm.
You don't think we'd think about it?
I almost left to take less money.
You almost become a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah. In a way, I agree with that. And the reason why I say that is because most of the officers, like you were saying earlier, AJ, is they do it because they really want to protect and serve.
Yeah.
That's what their dream is. And some officers are only doing it for the money and the benefits. And that's the problem. That's part of the problem. Just like some nurses and some doctors are only doing it for the money. So the patients don't get the best treatment. So I think that's the case. That's one of the cases there is a lot of these guys don't really love their job. And a lot of these guys don't want to do their job to the fullest. And what I mean by that is be creative. It shouldn't take your chief of police or your boss to tell you to go in the community. Start talking to people. You have to get familiar with your community.
But a lot of people are. I think it's a minority that aren't. And maybe true. I'm wrong. And that's, you know what? That's what I need to hear from people. Maybe I'm just wrong about this. I think it's a minority. But I equate it to this show where I say 95% of the texters are really good and 5% of them are complete dickweeds that ruin it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think it's the same thing. I think it's a small percentage that are out there that are having a big penis contest and want to show they got the biggest one in the room and they're not afraid to shoot somebody to prove that they're a badass that caused this. And maybe they are. I mean, and maybe maybe they are actually racist dickweeds.
Right.
But I think that's a small percentage. And unfortunately, that's who gets the attention.
Yeah, you know, and it's this blue code, too, that you know, officers do wrong and then the officers still stand up for them. Even when they do wrong, that's the problem.
We talked about that earlier.
And it's almost like a cult because guys are really being harbored with all these negative things that are going on in the police department, no matter what city and what state you're in. And that's the problem. And it's growing and growing and growing. And now it's hit the top of the surface.
Let's talk to Don. What's up, Don?
Hey, guys, great show. Thanks for what you're doing. Yeah, Fred, yeah, you're right. My son's a cop, and the vast majority of them are very proactive with the youth and the minority communities. But that's not what I called. Fred, you were saying earlier, well, you said a couple of times, I think, that, you know, it's the federal government, the tyrannical government. What's going to help? You know, how's that going to change? A friend of ours was telling us a couple months ago about this book, and I think it's called Unintended Consequences. And it kind of speaks of what's going on today, but then a group of people realize that the federal government is actually the enemy, and they take out a couple of Supreme Court justices, and then after a couple of U.S. senators are assassinated, then all of a sudden the government is back in the people's hands. Things change real quick. So it's really kind of I'm going to go get that book now and read it. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Yeah, listen, man, I don't want to start saying we need a revolution. I think
we also I'm so sick of everyone making threats. Like when something like this happens, it's like, oh, now Joe Walsh, who is a former United States congressman, like an elected congressman last night, and he's very anti Black Lives Matter. That's fine. Mm-hmm. If you think it's a bogus movement, that's fine. He tweeted, 3 Dallas cops killed, 7 wounded. This is now war. Watch out, Obama. Watch out, Black Lives Matter punks. Real America is coming after you. You can't say things like that. That's not helping anybody.
No, that's and
these are guys. This isn't just some Joe Blow. This is a guy that was elected to Congress.
But that's,
and now he's afraid for his life. He deleted that tweet, and probably, you know, not surprised.
And by the way, can we actually talk about what Black Lives Matter is really about? Mm-hmm. And Michael, can you please address this? Because I don't think people get it. Because all I ever hear is, oh, no, all lives matter. Well, yeah, all lives matter do, too. But there's a reason why this movement started.
Yeah, and now we're starting to see why it is. I would say they were ahead of their time, but we're behind with the Black Lives Matter. This should have been going on 30, 40 years ago, if you think about it. And it did, and it's the NAACP. It's different organizations. But the Black Lives Matter shows that it's important. I mean, you have a Minnesota governor saying that race was a factor in the killing of 2 days ago. When a man is shot that has a license to carry a gun, is murdered in front of his girlfriend and his girlfriend's daughter. And the governor said that race was an issue.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. The problem I have, too, that a lot of people are overlooking is Walter Scott was murdered by Michael Slager. He was the North Charleston, South Carolina cop. Chased the guy, shot him down, and tried to frame him and said that the guy was going to take his taser or whatever. Somebody caught the guy on camera.
Yeah.
Caught the officer. Now, it looks like the officer will be convicted of murder. But the officer is out on bail.
Yeah.
Why is this man out on bail? He's a threat to society.
And I think that's where the frustration comes from. I read a story earlier today where there have been 180 shootings in New York where police officers have shot civilians. There have been 3 of them that were actually taken to court and 1 conviction. Now, I understand that's part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
But that number seems way out of whack to me. Right. And when we see these guys don't get prosecuted, I think that's why people are frustrated, and that's why stuff like this happens. We need to start looking at the cause instead of the result.
Right.
And that's all.
I would say this. When I was younger, growing up in L.A., and I look at it as a lot of time we're driving in the car. I'm 15 years old, 16 years old. I'm driving a car with my friends. We get pulled over for a traffic ticket. There's no reason why us 4 black males need to get out of the car and sit on the curve. It's just not fair. That's not going on in the valley with 4 Caucasians, young teenagers, and they get pulled over for a traffic ticket.
A lot of cops are scared.
I'm just saying, if you're a black male and you're looking at this saying, this isn't right.
No, I know.
But if you continue like, I'm wise enough to know that, hey, I got to get my life better and I got to do what I have to do to provide for my family. But some people, if you treat them like animals, they're going to act like animals.
Just a heads up, RJ Bell, who's normally on at 5:30, we messaged him and told him that we're not going to be able to have him on today.
First time in history we've ever bumped RJ, so this must be important. In fact, we bumped the mayor for RJ once.
Yeah,
who still hasn't come on our show, by the way. And Mayor Turner, you're still welcome to come on the show. Not the next 2 weeks while I'm gone, but anyway. You know what? We want to get to you guys, and we got a full board, and we want to get to as many as possible. Michael, can you hang around a little bit, man?
Yes, for sure. Right.
Guys, I got to tell you about my friends at Houston Can Academies, which this is such a great place. And if you really want to do something nice and you really want to make a difference in a kid's life, Houston Can Academies does that. They take kids who've dropped out of school. Some of them had kids. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Some of them were bullied. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why these kids had to drop out of school. And most of them would have never gone back. But Houston Can Academies takes them in. They work around their schedules. If they have a job, they work around that. If they have a kid, guess what? They got a daycare there. They do everything they can to help these kids get that second chance. And these are good kids, man. And so many of them go on to do great things and help change our world for the better. And we've had a lot of talk about our world, but these kids are helping change our world for the better. And that's why more than ever, they need your donation. And by your donation, just whatever vehicle you're not using anymore. Could be a car, a truck, a motorcycle, could be a boat. Doesn't matter. They're going to come. They're going to tow it free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. They're going to take care of all the paperwork. You don't have to do anything. You just make a phone call. They come and do it. Boom, they give you paperwork, tax deduction. done, and you've done a great thing. And guess what? As a bonus, if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Astros tickets. How about that? And the Astros are playing well. So give them a call. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Please tell them you heard about it on the Blitz or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Michael Pearson joining us. They're having a little going away party for our buddy Andy, who is leaving us, who I'm a little pissed to see him go. He's been doing the Facebook Live stuff with us. Good dude. Way too into baseball. But he was my first producer on my Yahoo show. And, of course, Michael and I worked together there for a couple of years when I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the very first producer I ever had. I went through 24 producers in 2 years.
It's ridiculous.
He was probably the best. It wasn't my fault. He just kept trotting new guys out there to see how they could do because they would always move up. They'd do my show, and then they'd move up to a real show. But Andy and I stayed friends. Sorry to see him go, but he's doing better for himself. A lot of people keep sending me this map and stuff about how more white people shot than blacks by police. Let's talk proportion, okay? Percentage of population. It's not close. It's just the same thing we
my
have.
My wife grew up in a town where there were two black kids at her high school adopted by a white family. She, like, this is new to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wow. This is, different people know different things. And there are parts of this country where there really isn't a lot of racial diversity. And that's why it's hard for some people to really understand. And you know, I've actually had talks with my wife about, like, things that have happened in the world because she just was kind of immune to it because right. It just wasn't an issue where she lived.
No, I live with a Canadian. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Their big thing against, I mean, their big racism is how they treated natives.
Yeah.
And they have some other stuff, but it's like how they treat the Hutterites is kind of weird, which is, but it's small, man. There's nobody shooting anybody.
Right.
It's just maybe we won't hire them.
Yeah.
And that's why somebody was asking me earlier. It's like, what do you like about what's going on in Canada? I like that their prime minister is inclusive and everything is about, hey, we got to take care of everybody in our country, not just the elite. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's all I want here. And listen, the elite can keep their damn money and their damn yachts and their damn River Oaks mansions. I don't care. But we got to start taking care of everyone here, man, not just the people who are paying for the politicians.
All right.
And go ahead. Anyway, let's get some calls.
Yeah, let's get to Tony. Hey, Tony, what's up?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say my condolences go out to the family in Minnesota, but no one knows what really verbally was said before the fiance was recording when the guy got shot. But I think that people who have license to carry a gun should have a protocol procedure, and we can use this person that his life was taken away as an example for other people who have license to carry a gun, and also the instructors who issue the license, and the way they now in Congress being real strict on issuing license to people who carry guns in colleges and stuff. If you're a person that has a license to carry a concealed weapon and you get pulled over by a police officer, and the police officer automatically, or the Samaritans or the citizens, going to know right away that the police officer will ask for your insurance and driver's license because you need insurance in Texas. So when a person has a license to carry a gun, he should keep his mouth shut and don't say he has a gun. It shows the officer the license when he says, let me see your license and your insurance. At that time, the protocol. The police officer is going to say, oh, you got a license to carry a gun. Do you have the gun with you? Yes, sir.
Well, here, listen, the reality is, and while what I was taught in concealed carry class is, if you get pulled over and you've got a gun in the car, let the cop know first thing. That said, you don't have to have a license to carry a gun in your car.
Yeah.
You can be Joe Blow with no concealed carry license and carry a gun in your car. A car is an extension of your home. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of the car and walk into McDonald's with it if you don't have a concealed carry license.
Right.
But you can drive around with it in your car. You don't even need that. But the reality is, I think that this guy in Minnesota is trying to cut out any question of why, trying to give him as few reasons as possible to let it turn the way it did.
Yep.
And you're right, we don't know exactly what happened before the video turned on. What we do know is the police haven't disagreed with what the woman said.
And another thing we do know is that I'm sure this isn't the first time that officer pulled someone over that was carrying a concealed weapon and had a license. But this is the first time he killed the man.
Yeah. I'll also say, I'm glad that woman recorded what she did.
Yep.
At the same time, I feel like if it was my wife, I would hope she'd be trying to help me. And
what could she do?
You know what?
The officer's telling your wife to put her hands on the steering wheel.
Answer me this, Mike.
Because she knows if she does anything else, if she's trying to help you, AJ, and she's an African American woman, most likely she might get a bullet too,
Mike,
in that situation.
Answer me this. I'll put you in the situation. Mm-hmm. Let's say your wife is shot.
Okay.
And the cop's telling you, don't move, don't help her. Are you going to do the right thing and try to help her? Or are you going to say, because I'll be honest, I would tell that cop, look, man, you're going to have to shoot me because my wife is bleeding out of here. I got to help this woman.
I agree.
Either you help her or I got to help her. Somebody's got to help her right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each their own, I guess, when it comes to that. But if it's my wife bleeding out, I'm telling the cop, look, I'm taking my hands off the wheel to help my husband.
Just to correct the last caller, I'm pretty sure it's a law in this state. If you have a license, you have to inform a police officer.
Yes, you do.
When you get pulled over. Pretty sure.
John. What's up, John?
Hello?
Hey, now.
Go in.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Hey, got a question about this. I heard you guys were talking about, paying the cops more, and I'm all for that. I'm a retired military guy myself, and those guys... They got a real hard job. But the question is if we put more money towards the police officer's pay, would there be some chances that fraud, trying to protect their source of income, this higher source of income would come to play?
That's possible.
Or could we put it over education?
Well, and here's the other thing. It's also possible that's absolutely possible. It's also possible that if you pay cops $100,000 a year, There'll be people who will be a cop just for money.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a lucrative
job.
But
you know what? Let's also make them go through, let's make them go to college. Let's make them go to Sam Houston State and get their criminal justice degree to get that job as a police officer and learn all these things so that they have to put that effort into it to make that $120,000 a year. I guarantee you, and we have a lot of listeners who are in college right now. If we tell them, okay, if you graduate in 4 years, you have a chance at a $120,000 a year job first year out. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them are going to be okay. So, yes, the standards go up, too. It's not just we pay them more, but the job requirements go up. And I think that's okay because all of that training that you do when you go when you study criminal justice isn't just about learning the law. It's about learning how to do your job. And another 4 years of that is not a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think you also need training more often. We need to rehearse this training maybe yearly, maybe every 2 years, whatever the case may be. Because I recently, just in the past, we can say in the last 2 years of the killings for African-American males, it doesn't look like getting on the ground is working. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It seems like it could be a little bit easier.
So the ground game, not a good thing.
Not a good thing. You know, it just seems like even the case in Louisiana, it looks like in the Louisiana case, that the guy didn't even see them coming. It looks like they charged him from the back. So my thing is, what about letting the guy, hey, put your hands up, put your hands behind your back, put them against the car. There's two guys, grab one wrist, the other one grab the other, and put in the handcuffs. I know it's not always that easy, but it doesn't look like taking people to the ground is working.
If the guy doesn't want to do that, you tase him.
And if you tase him and he keeps fighting, great. Right. But you know what?
You tase him again.
You don't kill him.
You don't kill
him. Why do we have to? That's the thing that gets me. Why are we so, and not just police officers, man, why in life are we so willing to just pull a gun and shoot somebody?
Very true.
Yeah. And life means more than that. It's across the board, man. And this is what drives me nuts. And this is why I was on our government earlier, because our government has made life meaningless in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who we listen to.
All right, we got a lot more calls on the board. We're going to take more. I'm trying to get to you guys in the order of when you got on. I know some of you have been waiting on.
We'll get to you. We're going to skip the gym of the day. We're going to skip all our usual stuff. We're going to get to you guys, and we appreciate every one of you for holding on. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Michael Pearson and I were just having a history of HPD talk. But Lamont says, are you familiar with the Randy Webster story back in the early 80s? Yeah, and as I was telling Michael, boy, you go back to the 70s and 60s and HPD's reputation was awful, and there were tons of instances like this. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. So the people who got upset were, you know, basically local people, because it didn't go national. It didn't go viral. But HPD also cleaned up its act. And you know, I'm sure something will happen at some point, because there's always a percentage of people. But I have to say, my dealings with HPD, they're very aware of this stuff. They're very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody runs into that.
Right. I can say, you know, I can speak for both sides growing up in L.A. and dealing with the LAPD. When I came here, for me personally, I can't speak for everyone else, it was like night and day as far as how personable the police are here. I can remember growing up in Los Angeles, I had problems with African-American cops also. It really wasn't a race thing. It was a LAPD versus the community, versus black males. I can remember a black cop jumping out on some friends of mine, you know, pretty much like he was a gangster. You know, that's how he was talking to people. That's how he was walking around. And I was like, hey, man, what's your badge number? Don't worry about my badge number, you know. So my point is, I say that to say, back then, I would have to go to the police station and make a report on this officer.
Yeah.
The reason why is because if he sees me again, just in case he wants to frame me,
right,
put some cocaine in my pocket and say that, you know, I was serving drugs, or put a gun on me and say this is my gun, I had to go and make a complaint before he arrested me, just in case he did that. Because if I didn't, he can frame me. That's the things we had to worry about.
Let me throw one more thing out there, because a lot of the instances we've talked about are guys who are criminals who are committing crimes. Doesn't mean they deserve to die.
Nope.
In most of these cases, they didn't.
Nope.
Anyway, we got a whole. Oh, we got an HPD officer on. Let's get Dave on. Can we do that?
All right.
What's up, Dave?
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going all right. What's up, man?
I'm actually not HPD. I work in the Houston area.
Okay.
But I don't want to give my department out just in case, you know, because the way things are with as far as police being looked at by their own departments for posting stuff on Facebook and being on the media, that kind of thing, too. But I just want to give a couple thoughts just, you know, from my perspective as a police officer. I see problems on both sides. You know, I see problems. Are there problems with officers being too aggressive? You know, obviously there are. It's a profession that requires a certain amount of aggression. It requires a certain amount of vigilance in everything you do. But, you know, to be a good police officer, you have to know when that's necessary and when it's necessary to turn that part off. Mm-hmm. You know, not every person you run into is, you know, a high-level criminal. Not everybody's carrying a gun looking to do you harm.
Right.
And you've got to be able to, like the deal in Minnesota, you know, I'm not in those officers' shoes. I don't want to Monday morning quarterback everything they're doing. But from the perspective we see, yeah, it doesn't look good. And the fact that the police department hasn't come out and given any kind of support, you know, and tried to explain what was going on, You know, I just questioned, you know, what was he doing on the passenger side? What was going on that put him over there and made him pull his gun out? And what escalated that situation? What happened to cause that? And so I think that's the problem from the other side, is that people are so quick to jump on officers and to jump on police lately. In any situation where it looks this bad, the Michael Brown, the Eric Garner in New York, this one, the one in Baton Rouge, you know, do they look bad on video from this perspective? Yeah, some of them do. All of them, when we go back so far, you know, it's just speaking for the Michael Brown, the Eric Garner, those officers got cleared because they could say, especially the Michael Brown one in particular, he's attacking him. You know, he's coming into his car. He's, you know, the officer had a reasonable fear for his safety.
Which also there's conveniently no video on that.
What's that?
Conveniently, there's no video on that one. I mean, right. that's sort of a he said sort of thing where we don't really know what happened.
Even the autopsy, when it came back, it was showing just body positioning, things like that, corroborate the officer's story a little more than, you know, what the witnesses who were saying the hands up, don't shoot kind of narrative. But, I mean,
that autopsy also showed he was shot from, you know, several yards away. And it like the confrontation had ended.
Right, well, that too, but it was several yards away, but he was coming at him. But I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know all the details and all that stuff. But just from kind of given from both sides of it, there's, in the least derogative way possible, there's a lack of information of the general public on what procedures are for police officers to do their jobs. If police officers get called to a convenience store, this is the Louisiana situation, police officers get called to a convenience store for a report of a guy who's pointing a gun at people and being aggressive, they show up and there's a guy being aggressive, then it matches this description, it's reasonable for them to assume he has a gun. If they go to detain him or arrest him or whatever the situation was, and he's resisting with them, being belligerent, not following commands, and, you know, reaching for his pockets or whatever he was doing, is it reasonable for them to assume he's reaching for a gun? And then they're fearing for their own safety. There's public around. Everybody wants to video everything now, so there's innocent people standing around. You know, it'll come out later whether he was justified or not, whether it was right or not, but as police officers, we have a duty to protect ourselves and protect the public and to protect this, you know, this person who's possibly breaking the law. We still have a duty to protect them. And that's what police officers have to understand.
Yeah, that's where a lot of our failing.
Right.
Every situation necessitates this escalation of force to the highest degree possible.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we got to go to break. Appreciate the phone call. But let me just say, I think that's a problem in a lot of ways, is that, yeah, not every situation necessitates that. I don't think there should be very many that necessitate that. And in this case, again, we don't have the whole video, but it sure looks like they didn't need to kill him. Just saying. God, this was supposed to be a fun show for me. This is my last show before vacation.
I knew last night this wouldn't be a fun
show. Maybe my last show ever. I mean, honestly, because I may not come back after all this, but you know what? Like I said, most of the people appreciate it, so.
I will say this real quick. In Minnesota, these officers didn't have body cameras.
Yeah.
How about hiring two less officers and get cameras for everybody?
I'll pay more taxes for body cameras for everybody.
Yeah, then that needs to get to where it's not optional anymore.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Every car made after 2015 has to have a backup camera in it. I mean, you can't say, oh, I want to pay a little less and not get a backup camera. That should be, if you put a cop on the street,
but
you should have to
have all the stuff last year,
right?
That's not already mandatory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That should be, so we can review everything. Guys, if you're on hold, I promise you we're going to get to you. Please be patient. We're going to get to everybody. We're just dropping everything to get to your phone calls when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.